Well, Merry Christmas to all of you. Or as Bill Whitley reminded me, Merry Christmas this morning. That's a good reminder to us of what this is all about. We're glad you're here today. If you showed up for our traditional Christmas Eve service, you're a little bit early, but you're allowed to stay all afternoon. You can wait. We just wanted to have a worship service. Not that the afternoon is not worship, but it'll be a little bit different. We wanted to have just kind of a family worship service this morning, and we'll keep it short and sweet and to the point. We want to focus on Jesus. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I encourage you to find Isaiah chapter 9. We'll start there this morning. But you can also find Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This morning I'm going to do a message in the series we've been working on called His Name. We're going to talk this morning about Prince of Peace. So maybe you're a guest with us today, you're still fit right in, because Prince of Peace applies to all of us. Or maybe you've been a part of the series and you're here to hear the end of this, Prince of Peace. So I'm going to help you with that this morning. So if you put a piece of paper in Luke chapter 2, and then if you would find Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to be just in verse number 6. But I need your help this morning to see if you're paying attention this morning. Every time you hear a word that starts with the letter P, you're going to raise a hand, okay? But every time you hear the word peace, I want you to say it, all right? So let's practice. You get that? Every time you hear a word that starts with the letter P, you're going to raise your hand, all right? And every time you hear the word peace, you're going to?
Peace.
Yeah, so you got to be quick, though. You got to be quick, all right? So let's see. Popcorn. Oh, gosh, that was bad. See, that's why we got to practice. All right, puppies. Some of you even got practice. Way to go, Tyler. What about peace?
Peace.
Better. Okay, you'll catch on. Good. We are focused this morning on the Prince of Peace. No hands, just say it. There you go. Oh, Prince. There you go. Yeah, okay, see, y'all got me. That's good. All right. Let's try it again. Prince of Peace. Very good. All right. So you're with me. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 was a prophecy 700 years before Christ came. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Good. I want you to think about that name with me at the end there, the Prince of Peace. I want you to think about that with me this morning. What does that mean to you, that Christ would be called that, that God would actually be that, that that's who he is? Some of us, this time of year is a busy, 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 crazy time. For others of you, it's not that busy and it's not that crazy. And so you are maybe wrestling with the busyness of the season, or maybe you're wrestling with the stillness of the season. No matter what, Christ is the Prince of Peace for all of those situations. And whether you acknowledge that or not is up to you. It does not change the fact that he already is. Okay? So we have talked in our series about God being, Christ being a wonderful counselor. We marvel at the true advice that he gives us. Every time you read his word, you should be able to marvel at who he is and what he's done for us. We've also seen that he's a mighty God. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. But that's who he is. He also, we took time during our Christmas musical to talk about him being Emmanuel, which simply means that God is with us, and we see that in Jesus Christ. We learned that from Isaiah chapter 7. And then last week we talked about him being the eternal Father, never-ending one who takes care of us. That's who he is. Whether you and I acknowledge it or not is up to us. So look with me again real quick at verse 6. The prophecy, the promise of God was that there would be a son that would be born. Not delivered. Not, hey, here he is, a full adult. Not come through the walls one day and here's this man. No, a child would be born and he would be a son. He would be born for all the people. Oh, some of you are slowing down on me already. We're only 3 minutes in and you're already slowing down. He is a Savior for all of us. And the government rests on his shoulders. We've learned that that government is not about somebody who tells us what to do or sets laws. It's somebody who wants to rule and reign in our hearts, individually, and even collectively as the people of God. His name is called Prince. Okay, the word prince means that he is a leader, that he is a chief, that he's an official, that he has authority. Okay, this kind of prince is not one that came in and has royal authority because of who he was born to. It's not somebody who has conquered lands so that we, his family, now we have to bow down to them in some way. But he's become the prince because God gave him all authority on heaven and on earth. But he's the Prince of Peace. The word peace, good, means completeness, soundness, contentment. Some of you know the verse in Philippians chapter 4. You've heard it before. It says, "In the peace of God, good, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This that God provides us is a peace that goes beyond all comprehension. It's not anything that you and I can grab a hold of and explain. It doesn't even fit the situations that we find ourselves in, but that peace that he provides for us is very real, and it provides soundness and completeness for us because that's who he is. Go with me back to Isaiah 9 real quick. Look at verse number 7. It continues this promise of God. There will be no end to the increase of his government. In other words, once we allow him to rule and reign, it doesn't end. There's no term. There's no term limits. Not somebody we have to elect. Somebody that we place on the seat of our heart, the cornerstone of our heart, and we allow him to stay there and to rule and reign. Listen to this verse that the angel Gabriel came and told to Mary when she was going to have a child. Luke 1, verse 32 and 33, he said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." That was before he was born. God's plan for his son was already set before he even came. God knew what he was doing. Look back in verse 7. It says, "There's no end to the increase of his government, his rulership in the hearts and lives of men as we yield to him, or of his peace." It doesn't end. It doesn't end. It's always available to us. And it says that on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. Only God can provide this for us. He's the only one who can give you peace that passes all understanding. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 2. You've heard this part of the birth story before, but I want you to think about it in the context of this name that we're using this morning. What is that name? It is Prince of Peace. Listen to what happens here in this story as you think about that name. Luke chapter 2 records the birth of Jesus, and then beginning in verse 8, something remarkable takes place. If you think about it, it's not something that you and I would have come up with to announce this great and massive response to God's promise, but it's what God chose. Luke 2 verse 8 says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. We'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And it came about when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statements which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. God chose to announce the birth of his only son to shepherds. How crazy is that? They're out in the fields. Those that work at night as shepherds are usually young children. They're out in the fields working. Why would God come to them? Because of their response. They went immediately. They didn't have to go check with somebody. It's the middle of the night. Other people are asleep. Their parents are probably asleep. Others that would be in the village that would be responsible for the sheep, they're not there. They're all doing whatever they're doing that night. This angel comes to them and says, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Not just for the shepherds. Not just for those that were gathered there. Not, again, like we've said before in the series, not just for the parents of this baby, but for all the people. And notice what he says. Verse 11. "There has been born a child, and that child is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord." In other words, he announced to them that the Messiah, the promised one, had been born, and he is in a manger where animals feed, and he's in Bethlehem, and he's wrapped in cloths, and all you have to do is go. And then if that wasn't enough of a billboard on the side of the road to say, "Hey, God is speaking, go," then there's a multitude of angels. And what are they doing? It says they're singing praise to God. Look again in verse 14 what they are saying. They're not talking about the baby, but they're praising God the Father. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." God is paying attention to what's going on. He's taking care of them in the midst of a chaotic situation where they, Mary and Joseph, had to travel, probably along with their family, in the chaos of having to go for a census. With people gathered and no place for them to stay, but God takes care of them, and the baby is born, and he has a plan. And he announces it to shepherds first. And notice what happens with the shepherds. They went, and they found the child just as they thought, just as they had been told. And then verse 18 to me is amazing. Only the Prince of Peace could do this. All who heard wondered. They marveled. They didn't expect something different. It doesn't say that they questioned, said, "These shepherds, they've been out in the field too long. They haven't slept very much. They probably haven't eaten much. They're crazy." No. Remember, we said most likely his parents and grandparents and other people were there. They would have been a part of this because they all had to go and register in Bethlehem. And here they are dealing with that, and they are wondering at what God has said through these men. Mary treasured these things. She pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds glorified and praised God on their way home. In other words, Isaiah was right. Not only is God our Emmanuel, he's God with us. Not only is he our wonderful Counselor, we can marvel at the things that he has to say to us in his word. Even if we don't fully understand, we can trust that this is God's word and he takes care of us. He's a mighty God who we've seen him take care of things, not just in the past, not just in the Bible, but in our own lives. Think back about the things that he's done that you would consider him as a mighty God. Prayers he's answered, you didn't see any way around. He is our eternal Father. He takes care of us. And he truly is our Prince of Peace. Is Jesus your Prince of Peace today? I mean, is he? That's who he is. But is he that to you today? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to think about that name. You don't have to repeat it anymore. I want you just to think about it. Is he truly your Prince of Peace today? Is your life chaotic? Are you feeling overwhelmed right now? Or maybe this is a lonely season for you, and you too are looking for that peace. Is God your Prince of Peace today? Because he is, but do you recognize and acknowledge it in your own life? Would ask you to help him be your Prince of Peace by yielding to him today, just in your heart, but tell him that you need him to be your Prince of Peace in your marriage, in the relationships with your kids, in the relationships with your grandkids or other family members, in your business, in your neighborhood, in your school. Father, we thank you this morning that we can celebrate Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we thank you this morning that he is all of these names that Isaiah said he would be 700 years before he even came to the earth. But Father, we thank you this morning most of all that Jesus is our Prince of Peace. That's who he is. Help us to yield to him this Christmas season and allow him to be that in our own lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.